Hello and welcome back to the Azeem Digital Asks All-Round Digital Marketing Podcast. This is rated amongst the top 10 in UK digital marketing podcasts and top 20 overall. And I can't believe it, but we are on the last episode of 2022. You'll notice a stutter there because literally for 12 months I've been struggling to articulate what year it is. So this is going to be a fantastic episode. As always, please like, rate, share and subscribe. Tell a friend to tell a friend, and then when you've done that, go three streets down, find somebody who's got a cat, knock on the door and say, oh, what a lovely cat you have. By the way, please listen to Azeem's podcast. I promise I'll make less of those shit jokes in 2023. The last thing I'll say is I'm running a little bit of a test with this episode. I've mentioned this to the guest as well. You'll notice I'm deliberately not using the guest name because that's part of the test. And I'll reveal more in 2023 because all year I've been running various different types of tests, including video. So the topic that we're going to be talking about is why your pitches don't land with journalists and things to keep in mind. My guest is absolutely incredible. So now this is the bit where I shut up because you haven't come here to watch or see me. You've come here for the opposite. So, mystery guest. I feel like it's Take Me Out, isn't it? Reveal yourself.
Hello. No, I feel like I have to do a Take Me Out side. My name's Serena, and I'm a freelance copywriter and journalist, but I did used to be a digital PR, and I'm so glad to be on your podcast.
It is a pleasure to have you on, and as you now know, Serena is incredible. She's got experience on both sides of the fence, and I'm very much looking forward to tapping into it. So, without further ado, let's get into the episode, because I'm fed up of the sound of my own voice. We're talking about why your pitches don't land with journalists and things to keep in mind. So, let's start from the off. In your experience, what would you say is the biggest mistake that people are making when they're pitching to journalists?
I'm going to do exactly what it says on the tin. And my advice is the biggest mistake you can make is waffling when you're pitching journalists. That's in the subject line or in the like intro or throughout your release. Get to the point.
Wow. Okay. Straight in. Straight in. So... Well, what an answer, to be honest. You've got to blow me away. So when it comes to sort of PRs, what's one thing that you'd wish that they'd understand when it comes to pitching to journalists?
So I think this fuses with the previous question is we are so time poor. And I go on about this every time I speak to PRs, whether it's been in previous teams or like on panels or in webinars. We are so time poor. Our day sort of looks like a news meeting in the morning. Before that news meeting, we've got our writers pitching our stories. We've got to filter through those stories, find our own stories, and have these ready for like 15 minutes time after we've logged in for the news meeting with all the editors on our publication. In that meeting, we're then potentially given more stories. And then we're having to fill out the news list, get writers on their first story, and it trickles on and on and on with meetings and being pulled left, right and centre in between. And because of that, we get so little time to look at our press releases and our inboxes in general. And it's just where being to the point and having a fantastic story or signposting a fantastic story helps you and helps us. When I've got my 5 minutes in the day to look at my inbox quickly, I'm going to look for the best, most attention-grabbing subheads and subject lines. That doesn't mean you need to send a clickbait, because that also annoys us when the story's actually not half as strong or you can't back it up. But it's just really helpful to really think about your subject lines and intros, basically.
I like that. I'm going to stray a little bit from stuff that I've already talked to you about and just hang on that clickbait that you've mentioned there. In general, when you're doing your admin, the 5 minutes of looking through your inbox, and you see something that isn't what it says on the tin and you've clicked into it, what's your response? Do you do nothing? Do you block the sender? How do you respond to that?
It depends, because there's a few agencies that I know are pretty bad for it, and I know this because I still get press releases, even though I'm copywriting at the moment. I still get press releases in my inbox, and I'll notice it's a sort of trend among multiple PRs in their agency, and they'll promise the world on the tin, and then inside it would be like, this is a really dry sort of press release that, you know, and you can't help your clients. Sometimes it will be like a gardening client, or it'll be, I don't know, a finance client, and it won't be very interesting. But sometimes we're keen to take those like more mellow stories. Let us do the tweaking and the like catchier headlines and stuff. We just need to know from you that we're getting what you say in the tin. If you keep repeatedly doing that, I'm going to pop you in spam. I don't have time to reply to every PR and let them know that their press release hasn't landed, or it could be better, or they need to just stop like sending clickbait. So it will just end up going into spam or just being repeatedly deleted.
Yeah, love that. That's led me very nicely onto the next question that I wanted to ask you. So when it comes to PRs, how do you think that PRs could make their own lives easier?
There's like, do I have time to go into like multiple?
Oh, yeah, yeah, go for it.
Amazing. So I would say start by being organised. You know when a campaign's coming up, really start getting in the nitty-gritty with the data and stuff. What I used to do is I used to look at all facets of the campaign. So not only the best angles and the ones that we're executing on the campaign page or in the outreach, but just look through the data, whether it's with our in-house data analyst or on my own with someone else, and just say, hold on, but this could be really interesting if the first point doesn't land, or this could be a different angle that we go to, and actually we can segregate this down. Basically, by doing this, you're giving yourself more opportunities to bounce back and say, oh, hold on, I know this point didn't land for you, but in my follow-ups that I send, because follow-ups are so vital, you know, why don't I attack it from this angle and say, hi, you know, I sent you this study that revealed XYZ, but I was also wondering if you'd be interested in finding out another angle. So that's where organization comes into play. I'd also say prospecting. That's probably the most important part of your outreach. I'm repeatedly getting pitches sent to me that aren't relevant to me now because I'm not on desk, but that's not their fault. But would never have been relevant to any area of my experience and like the publications I've worked on. Take that extra time to see, either by going onto the section that you want to target in publications and seeing the recent stories they've published and the writers publishing them, or by going onto author pages and seeing like 10 of the most recent stories that they've done, and you'll instantly get such a good idea of what sort of content they're working through and what works for them and what doesn't work for them. By you constantly sending out releases to journalists who are irrelevant, we're either going to get fed up and put you in spam, going to be quite annoyed, or ignore you as soon as something relevant, when relevant things do come in, because we don't feel like we can trust your prospecting. So that's another key element. And I guess also just keeping on top of, you know, what's doing well for publications as a whole. And I feel like some PRs really get that, and they'll segue their their clients, I guess. They'll segue their clients and find relevant in. So I know it happened to be an automotive client anyway, but this PR who I'm actually friends with, she noticed that we were covering a lot on the highway code, and the highway code had changed entirely in terms of road hierarchy, and I'd been writing about it, and it'd done phenomenally well for us at the time. She clocked onto that, sent me a release, and it was actually about roundabouts and the most dangerous one, but her hook was talking about the highway code change and how everything's changed at roundabouts and everything and roads in general. And I was like, perfect. So I thought, okay, it's not, you know, the most exciting story, like the most dangerous roundabouts in the UK, but let me pitch it. Editor loved it, and that went straight through. And it's because she was keeping an eye on what was doing well for the publication as a whole and what wasn't. So yeah, I think those are probably the most important things you can be doing like day to day.
Love that. There's lots of useful takeaways there for PRs, so thanks very much for sharing that. Before I move on to the next question again, I'm going to put you on the spot now. So you mentioned that PRs are time poor, but you also then mentioned about, you know, learning more, going onto author pages and things like that.
Yeah.
How would you strike a balance between getting the pitch out?
I don't think PRs are time poor. It's journalists who are time poor.
Ah, right.
PR, okay. I had plenty of time. Like, you know, the first week back when I was like, oh, let me take a full-time job on a national publication, I miss the days of like, yeah, I thought I was stressed, but I know, and I know PR can be flipping stressful when clients like, get me links now, I want this now. But I think all PRs, even if you are being pressured by your bosses, this is something that I've wanted to say for a while, actually. Even if you're being pressured by your bosses or your clients, and you're like, get me links now.
Yeah.
Push back. And you can fully say, like, a journalist has said this and it's absolutely fine. Push back and say, no, I need the extra time to prospect properly. And I need a bit more time to research angles and make sure that I've got all of it stacked out nicely, because I think it's so much more worth it. You're so, yeah, you might have taken a day extra that you were meant to be outreaching, but you'll probably land results much faster if you've prepped really well. So, yeah.
Love that. That is super handy. Thank you for sharing. So, we've talked about how PRs can make their own lives easier. What about journalists? How can a journalist make their own life easier?
Leaving journalism? No, I don't know. I guess it would be, and it took me a while to learn this, is let go a little bit and just be a bit more like level-headed. Yeah, editors are going to be breathing down your neck, they're going to be like getting angry, they're going to be stressing about like targets and readership numbers and stuff, but you've got to just, one of the best pieces of advice actually that my old editor gave when I was telling him I'm actually feeling really stressed and burnt out was, the news list will carry on growing. It will just carry on growing if you let it. There's always stories, there's always news. You've got to learn yourself where to switch off. And I was trying to be a perfectionist and I was like, no, but we could do this and it'd be really good and we should do that and let's just stay a bit later and later. And it ended up me working 7 in the morning to 8 p.m. at night for like my first few weeks. I was like, hold on, I can't do this again. I've been burnt out in journalism before. So I would just say, realize that you can't do everything and that's okay. Even the best editors in the world can't do everything and that's fine. They do their best. And as long as you know you've given it your best shot that day, that's all that matters really. And even if your best is, oh, but I did procrastinate for half an hour and I was like struggling to focus, that's absolutely fine. You tried your best. Like, yeah, that's what I would say.
Absolutely solid. I love that. Thanks very much for sharing it. And I think this leads me very nicely into one of my sort of final few questions for you. But you're somebody who's got quite a unique experience in that you've been on both sides of the fence. So drawing on that, what advice do you think that you can share with listeners and viewers having been on both sides of the journalism PR fence?
I think, yeah, I have been really lucky to have done both. And the main thing I would say, and it feels really repetitive, and I feel like I'm going on like journeys to these special people, but we're not, but it's realising just how time poor we are. And I remember when I joined one of my first digital PR agencies I worked with, and a colleague said to me, oh, I've pitched to you before and you didn't reply. And it was like, yeah, but I've been on the other side of that desk and I know that we are insanely time poor. Like, if I spent my time replying to every single PR and every single pitch that I got, I would never have like any time to do my actual job. So I guess what I'd say is just be mindful of the fact that we are under a lot of pressure, and format your press releases as a PR towards that, in the sense that you need to be making everything really clearly signposted. I've previously shared brilliant templates, but to give a sort of rundown is, hi, their name, get that right. and then whether you want to or not, I know it's hotly debated, I hope you're well. We have conducted a study on behalf of XYZ and have discovered main point, main angle of the story. The research was conducted by explained brief methodology, like surveying 2,500 UK adults to discover X and weave in the hook at this point. Then go into like below, I have a breakdown of the full data for regions or whatever and expert comment from XYZ. And then you can go further into it. And, you know, you can find pictures in this Dropbox link or whatever. The other thing and the advice I would give, and this is something I've done a whole Brighton SEO talk on, is the importance of expert comment in your pitches. We usually, and I would say 90% of the time, need expert comment in all of our stories, both to provide a balanced argument, but also to give that expert authority and that voice to our stories. this is something we have to go and source anyway, but it's sometimes really handy if you've done the work and you've got brilliant expert comment from your client or from another person. And we're happy, usually we're happy to give both people links in our stories. So that's not a worry at all. I know I've had luck with that on both sides, where I've included links to the expert and the client. And I've also got links for both my client and the additional expert. It takes a bit longer, and it doesn't take that long at all, because you're just putting out a request for expert comment on Twitter or wherever, and just letting them know that, you know, they'll get credit within the article. But it's so worth doing. And if you are just using expert comment from your client, it's worth letting them know that it can't be too sales focused. It's got to be, you know, showing and demonstrating their expert knowledge around the area. And also giving advice to our readers, because the beauty of expert comment is that our readers are getting access to experts that they wouldn't have day to day. You can't just speak to a doctor in the middle of COVID and ask them questions about stuff. You can't just speak to like a highway code expert in the form of a CEO of an automotive company daily. So it's just adds so much value, and it's so worth including in all your pitches, no matter how silly you think the campaign might be. Or how irrelevant it might be. It's always worth just including that. Other than that, I would just say be to the point. Always reread your emails and make sure there's no typos. If you're not confident in your spelling and grammar, get someone else on your team to read it. There's no shame in that. I used to read so many people on my team's emails because I'd be like, oh, I'm happy to look over it if you want me to. And they'd bring over a printed copy of it. I'd edit it, and that's it. It's good to go. And I just think it's so worth doing, because the more issues and errors that you've got in your press release, the more a journalist is likely to, like, doubt the credibility of it. Oh, my God, I keep adding to this. And also, triple check your data. I have been on the other side where I have received campaigns, and then they're suddenly like, oh, I'm so sorry, the data's changed. And it will be so drastic to the point where it's like, Nottingham was the... God, I said that really weird. Nottingham is the worst for accidents in the UK. And then they'll be like, oh, no, I'm so sorry, it was actually Sunderland. And you're like, I've pitched this to my editor. I now look really silly. I now look bad. And I'm going to have to go and re-pitch this. So just triple check all your data. Make sure it's spot on. I know mistakes happen. And also tell us the second you know as well. Like, if you think... you've messed up, don't wait for us to put it out and wait for it to be published and then come back. Come to us the second you're like, actually, hold off, or if you're about to publish, don't, or if you've already published, we're going to send an amend really quickly. So yeah, good communication is also really important. That's like 20 tips.
20 tips in less than 20 minutes. This is fantastic. So I can't let you go without asking you this question. So very recently I gave a conference talk, and not long after, a young final year student, she reached out to me, and she's really hoping to crack in the PR industry. And there are many more like her on the same course. So I was hoping to sort of tap into your expertise and basically say, look, what advice would you give somebody now who is coming to the end of their studies and trying to get into the industry? Where do they go? What do they do? Who can they learn from, etc.? Where would you advise that they begin?
Look, I think the beauty of digital PR is that you can come into it from all walks of life. I came into it from journalism, which was lucky because I had transferable skills. But there are people who are graduates who came into it, and there are some agents. In fact, I feel like a lot of digital PR agencies really accommodate graduates and fresh thinkers, because it's a good way to be able to learn the way that the agency does it, but also bring a fresh perspective on things and new ideas. So what I would say is there's so many talks. We're brilliant, like, in terms of an industry, in the fact that there's so many talks, there's so many events, newsletters, people sharing tips on Twitter. And you just need to follow a handful of the right people to start building, if you use Twitter, to start building that web of people to follow. I'd say follow Azeem. I'd say follow people like Jasmine Granton, Ruth Barrett's amazing, Shannon McGurk from ERA. These are all amazing people on Twitter, but also just Google digital PR agencies and follow their Twitter accounts, because they'll always be retweeting their talent. And go from there, watch talks, be really like immersed in the news as well, and understand and try and unpick where these stories have come from or why they landed, and start teaching yourself in that way. But also don't be afraid to reach out and email digital PR. Like, I'm always happy to help and give advice. Can't promise I'll reply instantly. I'm awful. But yeah, there's so many of us that are just so happy to help and encourage new talent. So yeah, it's a very welcoming industry to head into. And yeah, just do some digging.
Brilliant. Love that. Thank you for sharing. I'm sure that, amongst everything else, has been super, super useful for the listeners and the viewers. You've led me very nicely onto wrapping up this final episode, which I'm sad to do because it's the end of 2022. I'm not going to record again now till 23. But more importantly, let's talk about you. How can people connect with you? Where can they find you, follow you on social media and whatnot?
Yeah, so Twitter's probably the best place. I mean, it's falling apart. I'm at Serena Chande on there until it disappears. And I'm also on Instagram and LinkedIn. Instagram handles at Serena Chande again, and LinkedIn's my name. So, yeah.
Brilliant. Well, from me, in advance of all the listeners and viewers, thanks very much for coming on to the show and sharing your knowledge and wisdom. I really appreciate it. As the last episode of 2022, fantastic. We said there's no pressure at the start, and I believe that you've knocked it out of the park, and I'm sure the listeners and viewers will too. I guess all that's left to say is thanks for listening, watching, and supporting in 2022. There will be one more audio episode that comes out after this as a very brief thank you, because I don't want to waste too much of Serena's time. But as always, please like, rate, share and subscribe. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Thank you very much for supporting this podcast this year. I'll be back in 2023. Get that right. With more content and more new things that I'm keeping under wraps for now. But as always, massive, massive thank you. And a huge thanks to you, Serena, for being an awesome guest. We'll see you next year. Have a great holiday period, new year. Stay safe, stay healthy. And yeah, see you soon.